It's how we perceive those events. If we see them as overwhelming or life-threatening or terrifying, we're going to have one reaction. Even how our body responds is different than if we see them as fun and exciting and challenging. And when we do, we're more focused, we can accomplish more, and we can survive stressful things that happen that we didn't plan, that may actually be life-threatening, that people actually do better in those situations if they're seeing them as challenges.
Welcome to Mindful Warrior Radio, a podcast that explores the intersection of leadership, culture, performance, and flow. Through thought-provoking conversations with innovative change makers and industry leaders, we uncover the mindsets, strategy, and experiences that drive personal and professional excellence. Each episode offers real-world insight, inspiring stories, and actionable wisdom to help you cultivate resilience, purpose, and peak performance in your own life. Today on Mindful Warrior Radio, we welcome our guest, Dr. Lisa Firestone. Dr. Firestone is a clinical psychologist, the director of research and education at the Glendon Association, a senior editor at psychalive.org, and the co-author of numerous articles and book chapters. Dr. Firestone is a national and international trainer and presenter on topics including couple relations, parenting, suicide, and violence prevention assessment and treatment. I'm honored to tap into the insight and wisdom of Dr. Lisa Firestone on today's episode of Mindful Warrior Radio. It is absolutely a pleasure to have you back on Mindful Warrior Radio. Today we have Dr. Lisa Firestone joining us again, a part of her series. We initially started off talking about trauma, attachment styles, and today we're going to be talking about stress and how we can actually leverage stress and have it be more of a positive tool rather than something that is depleting us or taking away from our overall performance and everyday existence. So I'm looking forward to dropping into this topic. Thank you again, Dr. Lisa Firestone, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Cami. It's always really fun to talk to you. Yeah. And I think this is an important topic because it's something we can do something about. You know, we're all going to have some stress in our life, but when we can shift our mindset about it, we have a really different experience.
I agree. I mean, I don't know anyone who's living a completely stress-free life. If they are, I would love to chat with them and ask further about how they're living their life and what their lifestyle is. But you're absolutely right. I think this topic connects with so many people in so many different capacities and environments. So let's drop in. The first question I'd love to start with is just how would you define stress, just to orient and ground our listeners?
Right. I think, you know, it really is from the person's perspective, you know, so what do you see as stressful? You know, you can see a competition, for instance, which you're very familiar with, as either a stress, or you can see it as exciting and thrilling. And a lot of those things that, you know, it's how we see it makes it more stressful. So yes, there's going to be stresses in life, you know, whether it's in our work life, you know, challenges coming up, or whether it's in our relationship life, challenges coming up, or, you know, even just, you know, I don't know, going to the grocery store could be stressful for some people, you know what I mean? Whether it's crowds or whether it's the prices or whatever it might be. But, you know, there are going to be in life stresses. That's part of life, you know, or things that you could interpret as stress. So I think it's really important for us to look at our relationship to stress, like how do we see it? And, you know, it's things that we feel challenged by, and we can feel overwhelmed by those challenges, and we're going to react in one way, or we can see those challenges as things that are exciting and that we want to take on, and then it has a very different feeling, right?
Yeah. And so when you're talking about stress, I'm really hearing this like perspective of mental stress, because I'm imagining there's mental stress, emotional stress, and then we have the actual physical stress that we put, you know, I'm thinking about training and working out, is that physical stress that we put on our body. So mm-hmm. I'm curious if we're if you can clarify, the perspective is more mental and emotional stress that we'll be focusing on today versus the physical, or is it kind of all of it?
I think it applies to all of it because yeah, there's going to be physical stressors. We go to do an activity that requires us to train, or we have to challenge our bodies to do things we haven't done before. You know, whether that is doing a sailboat race where you have to stay up for lots of hours and you're not getting any sleep, or whether it's, you know, engaging in a sporting event that, you know, requires your body to do more than what you thought it could do, or, you know, and I think all of those things, our mindset still matters, whether it's a physical stress. So working out can feel good and challenging, or it can feel overwhelming and hard, depending on how you look at it. I think that's true for emotional stresses. And also for, you know, just the real challenges of interpersonal relationships, for instance, you know, things are going to happen that are perceived as stressful, loss, you know. Loss of somebody you care about, that's going to be stressful. But again, how you see it, if you see it as something that is a process to go through and that is a natural part of life, it's one thing if you feel like it's, oh, this is too terrible, I can't deal with this, then you're going to shut down and have a very different reaction. So I think no matter what kind of stress we're talking about, whether it's physical, emotional, or interpersonal, it's going to be, you know, how we look at it is going to affect how it is for us. And it's even going to affect how our body responds to it. So mindset is not just about tricking ourselves into thinking of things in a more positive way. It also actually makes our body physiologically respond to it in a more positive way. So, you know, makes a huge difference for all different kinds of stress.
What is actually happening to our nervous system when we are experiencing stress?
Again, I think a lot of what's happening to our nervous system depends if we see it as, you know, if we see it as dangerous, you know, if we see whatever the stress is as dangerous, we're going to get into more of a fight or flight mode. If we see it as overwhelmingly dangerous, like life-threatening, we're going to get into a shutdown mode. You know, we again with challenge can get into more of a tender befriend mode rather than the fight or flight. Women are supposed to be more geared toward that, but it's not 100% sex related, actually. It depends more on the individual. But, you know, if we see it as a challenge that we can overcome, then it's motivating. When we see it as overwhelming or scary or life-threatening, then we do things that are not necessarily very helpful with it. And, you know, if you decide to do a very hard workout program, you know, seeing it as a challenge to accomplish something you want is one thing. If you see it as something that's being imposed on you or that is going to, you know, do damage to your body, then it might. And it might be the exact same kind of exercise would have a different impact, or the exact same kind of experience, like a work challenge, can have a positive effect on you or a negative effect depending on how you see it. So, you know, I think it's really important to remember that stress isn't one thing, you know, and I like Kelly McGonigal's work on this because in her first book, The Upside of Stress, that she wrote about stress, her first book about stress, she talks about how she thought it was negative because she had been studying all the negative health impacts of stress. And, you know, so she was going around saying, don't, you know, get stress out of your life, you know, basically. Which A is not realistic, right? I mean, like you said, there's very few people with a stress-free life. And what would that even look like? You have no goals and don't challenge yourself at all? I don't know. That doesn't sound very good to me. And probably not to you either, because you're not a person who doesn't create challenge in your life. But, you know, so you have to wonder, you know, she started seeing this research that showed that some people respond very positively to stress, that it increases their performance, that they do even better, they're more focused, they're more able to harness their energy, and accomplish the things they want when they're stressed. And she realized that it wasn't just stress, you know, that we all think of as like, oh, it's a stressful event if this happens. It's how we perceive those events. If we see them as overwhelming or life-threatening or terrifying, we're going to have one reaction. Even how our body responds is different than if we see them as fun and exciting and challenging. And, you know, when we do, we're more focused, we can accomplish more, and we can survive actually stressful things that happen that we didn't plan that may actually be life-threatening, that we people actually do better in those situations if they're seeing them as challenges and if they have that positive mindset. And, it can really have a big difference in the outcome that you have in terms of whether you achieve a goal, in terms of whether you survive a difficult situation, and in terms of whether you navigate something successfully with other people, whether that be a work challenge or one in our interpersonal life.
You believe that there is, because the way that I'm thinking about it in my mind is that there is healthy stress and unhealthy stress. But as I'm hearing you share the research and findings behind stress, is healthy stress and unhealthy stress can really be determined by your mindset and how you're viewing and processing and deciding how to digest the stress can actually put it in that category of healthy or unhealthy. And I would imagine the severity of the experience that's providing the stress can be a harmful or not as harmful situation. What comes up to for you in that?
Right. So I think in general that our mindset makes all the difference. But that doesn't mean you should create a life for yourself that has, where you exaggerate stress or where you invite it. So having a lot of toxic people in your life, whether that be in your work life or your personal life, not helpful, right? And keeping them in your life, thinking that somehow it's going to be different if you just keep doing it is not helpful, right? So that's stress that you're choosing, A. And, as adults, we have choices, right? When we're kids, we don't get a lot of choices. We don't get to decide where we're going to live or who we're going to live with, or, what our life's going to look like. But once we're adults, even if you're in a very, like if you're in a job that feels like the stress feels overwhelming or it feels terrible, then you can really think about, okay, do I want to stay in this job or should I do something different? But you have agency, and I'm not saying it's easy, because sometimes it really isn't. That job's also paying your bills. So it's not like, oh, I'll just jump to, not doing anything. No, that's not an option. So, but you can make choices. So if you have a very toxic person in your workplace who has power over you, that might not be a good place to be. And you can have a positive attitude about it, and that will change it to some degree, because most people who are toxic in situations, whether again at work or in our personal lives, part of their toxicity is a reaction to getting a rise out of us. So if we have that reaction over and over again, yes, it's going to keep happening, right? But if we have a different reaction, it sometimes leaves them kind of like, huh? and they have to do something different. So even in those situations, we can make some of the shift by changing our mindset, but we can also make shifts by deciding, hey, this is too toxic. This is not good. I don't belong here. I don't agree with the values of this person or the company or this way this interaction is going, and it just is too wrong for me. So I have to do something else, But as adults, we have that power. It's when we give up our personal power and feel like somebody has all the power over us, whether it's a boss or our customers or whatever it might be, then we feel more stressed and more negatively stressed instead of, oh, this is a great challenge, So I don't think it's that we should invite that kind of stress into our lives of being in a very, very painful, difficult situation. But, one could say that competing at a top level in a sport is stressful. No matter what, you're in competitions. Competition is stressful. But if you really enjoy the sport, you like the people you're working with, and you have a good, team, then it might be worth it, right? And maybe you wouldn't decide to, do something that's that challenging all the time, but, to the best of your ability, that might be the best use of your time, in your, and that, and then it, but I think it's really as part of a positive mindset about stress is the fact that we have choice and we have personal power and agency. And, unless we're being held hostage or at gunpoint or something, then we don't have a lot of choices. And that can happen to us even as an adult, but it's pretty rare.
I love this reminder that we have choice. And it's interesting what was coming up for me as you were sharing this idea of in our adult lives, we actually have the ability to choose the people we want in our lives to choose, perhaps, what roles or jobs we want to move in or out of, to choose kind of our environment that we want to be in. And, what came to mind for me is like, what is it to go through a stress cleanse in your life? What are the things that are impacting or calling in stress? And then the opposite of that is like, how are you amplifying or calling in stress, for yourself? Are we, there might be some people that are kind of addicted to stress based on what their upbringing was or, how they are wired themselves. But this idea of if you're feeling high levels of stress and you're recognizing it and, you would like to make a change in your life, recognizing one, taking a beat and a pause that you're at choice and what are the things that you would like to cleanse out of your life that are adding stress. One of the questions I had for you that I think kind of couples with this idea really well is what role does preparation play in stress? And even hearing you talk about like elite athletics, I had the opportunity to compete in three finals of the Olympic Games. One I won silver, other two I won gold. But that is pretty much the most high pressure and should be the most stressful situation in my athletic career. It's the pinnacle. And really, I think what kept the stress at bay was the preparation. It was just another game. If you made your mindset this way and just choosing to say, this is the finals of the Olympic Games, but it's water polo. It's the same, cage. It's the same ball. It's the same team that I've played against over and over again this year. And the same situations, or somewhat different, are probably going to arise, and we'll have the opportunity to overcome them, overcome them, overcome them. And so, really filtering the athletic mindset to saying, I'm excited for what's going to come because I'm prepared for what's going to come. And
Right.
the preparation and leading up is remove any stressors, just have things ready, give myself time, don't feel rushed to the bus, don't forget your bathing suit, pack your bag in advance. These are the things that really eliminated stressors and understanding, where I was going to eat lunch, what I was going to have. It was all just set in place so that I just had to show up, warm up, and play another water polo game and choose to say, rather than being fearful or stressed about it, I'm actually excited and energized by it, even though my heart is pumping through my chest as the first whistle blows and the game starts.
Right. But when your heart is pumping through your chest, you can say that's excitement or you
Yes.
can say it's fear. You know what I mean? And that changes your experience. You know, so you go on a roller coaster, and some people love it and see it as fun, and other people see it as terrifying. You know, so how you interpret those same physiological experiences that your body is reacting to makes a big difference. And it actually turns out that mindset makes your blood vessels respond to stress differently. So, I mean, your mindset is also affecting your body. And that's part of why stress can be physically harmful. If you're thinking of it as life threat all the time, that's too much stress on your nervous system. But if you're thinking of it as excitement, guess what? Your nervous system doesn't get so stressed. So it really does depend about how you're thinking about it. But also, like you said, preparation is important. So, all those practical little steps to getting to the pool that day is one thing. But there's also the fact that your team had played together many times before. You know the people you're playing with, you know the other players that you're going to have to depend on. You're not wondering who they are and how they're going to respond. I mean, think how much more stressful it would be to be plopped into somebody else's team and you don't know these people from the point of view as teammates, you might know them as opponents, but but it's different, right? And so knowing what your team does and how each person operates on that team, having practiced yourself so you know your skills are where you want them to be, and nobody's going to be perfect, right? I think perfection is overrated, but I think the idea of preparing yourself physically, and doing what you can to make all the circumstances as right as possible. I haven't done the athletic athletics you have, but I have done sailing. And in sailing, you want to make sure the boat is safe. You want to make sure you have all the right safety equipment. You want to make sure you have, the people in charge know what they're doing. You want to make sure you know what your part is and what you need to do. And you don't, and there's people who go to sea without doing any of that. And yeah, they face a lot more stress and they potentially face life-threatening situations, So it does matter that you prepare, right? You wouldn't want to walk into something like, an elite athletic event or take, your life in your hands crossing an ocean without knowing what you were doing and making some sense out of it. So there is preparation for things. And the same is true about, a very challenging situation in, your work life, you or your interpersonal life. You want to prepare for it the best you can. You want to make sure you have your skills in place so that you can do the best job you can. If you're going to have a hard conversation with somebody or, try to achieve a goal that seems a bit out of reach, And preparation makes a huge amount of difference, So I do think that's part of it. That does make it less stressful, but it also really prepares you for success as opposed to I'm just going to wing it and see what happens, which can lead to disaster, And so and it also is going to make you more anxious, right? Because you don't know where, and you don't know when and you don't know how as those things start to make themselves apparent in those situations, it doesn't go well. It kind of compounds and you get down a bad road. So I do think preparation is a big part of it. And, the parts you can control. So I think about when I first did public speaking, because I was a very shy person initially and didn't do this sort of thing. But I would focus on all the things I could control, like what I wore and, checking out the room in advance, making sure all the equipment was going to work right. So I just didn't have those hiccups to worry about. So there's certain things you can do. And there's other things that are going to come up anyways, like, the projector that's working fine and then the light goes out. I mean, that can happen, so it's not, but, if you prepare, at least you know where, what, how, and you can't control how people are going to respond in your audience. You can't control who's going to walk in or, how the other team's going to play, but you can control the things you can and make it as comfortable as possible. And that does matter too. I don't think, the idea should be, oh, all stress is good, so I should just go out and court stressful situations or have really stressful people in my life. No, why would you choose that? That's not going to move you towards what you want to accomplish. That's going to, that's where I think your personal agency and making choices about when it is time to part with somebody, when it is time to make another different choice in terms of a career direction or pursuing something you love, That maybe you've learned something lights you up more, or oh, you know what? This part of the company is more successful. We need to go more with that, even though you kind of like that other part, but it's not really working. It's you got to make choices like that, and those, the more flexible and adaptive you are, the better you're going to do, and that's partly by looking at getting rid of the stress that you don't need to have, and not creating stress from things that don't have to be stressful. Or leaving yourself stressed because you didn't prepare. But, but then really taking on the challenges that do matter and feeling some confidence in doing that.
Yeah, I'm curious of what might be the cause or what might be some root challenges around individuals that create stress out of situations that don't need to be stressful. What might be going on there?
Well, we tend to recreate the patterns we grew up with because that's what we adapted to. So if we grew up in a very stressful family situation, and it might have been stressful because our parents were always on the brink of financial ruin, or it might be stressful because our parents' job made them move a lot, or it might be stressful because our parents had their own psychological issues that made it stressful, or they were always fighting or whatever. But those situations we adapt to. And so, if what we're adapted to is a lot of chaos for whatever reason, intentional or unintentional on the part of the people who raise us, that I think parents have kids with the idea of doing the best job they possibly can. But, life gets in the way and their own unresolved issues from their own childhoods get in the way. So, when those things happen, then we got adapted to stress situation. I also think that some people are wired more anxiously than others. There's something called fearful temperament, where kids are more shy and fearful, and they need experiences where somebody's got their back, but they're slightly challenged. If you overcoddle them, they don't grow out of that. But you also don't want to do what one of my patients' mother used to do, of lock her out of the house so she'd have to go play with other kids. She just got so afraid she was going to be abandoned all the time that she, it increased the anxiety. It didn't decrease it. You want to help kids expand beyond their boundaries. But so there's some things that are innate like that. There's also fearless temperament, which means you'll tend to take on challenges without thinking them through even necessarily. But these different, so there is some things you come into the world with. And some people are just more wired for anxiety. If you think about, where do you go when you get stressed? Do you get angry? Do you get anxious? Do you get sad? It's usually one of those places that we go when we feel that. So, that's something that might be inherent in us partly. But then if we had a chaotic or difficult or stressful childhood, that may seem like the norm to us, right? So, I think about somebody I worked with whose father would make lots of money, but then he'd gamble it all away. So they were often in foreclosure with six kids and, rags to riches back and forth all the time. That's chaos. And if you learn to live with that chaos, a lot of times you recreate it as an adult, whether it's in your business life. So when you have successes, you then expect these downtime, these failures, and, you make them come true one way or the other. So yeah, there is a tendency to recreate those things that we're comfortable with, even though they're maybe awful. That's part we can start to challenge by looking at, well, what kind of environment did we grow up in, and what was our situation, not just in our family, but also in our community? Was it a safe place? Was it a dangerous place? Did we have a parent that was always worried and worrying about things that maybe even weren't that big a deal? And we've learned to just, you have to overthink things, and you have to worry, and you have to, because you can create stress for yourself by doing that, And rather than like the things you were saying you told yourself about, these finals in the Olympics, which is just another game. It's the same kind of pool. It's the same teammates. I've played this team before. It's just that thing again. Or you could tell yourself, oh my God, this is the most important game of my life and I can't do it, And if you're going to have a very different reaction depending on those narratives that you have about what's happening. And it's going to make for different choices. If you think things always have to be chaotic, you'll make them chaotic. And if you think things can, be challenging but go really well, that can happen too.
Yeah. I'm curious of, do you believe that, or is there any kind of research or study around if you've grown up with a certain level of stress or chaos that you almost needed to feel comfortable or productive or energized to be able to move forward, right? It would almost feel absent of energy, absent of challenge if that stress actually wasn't being self-facilitated, I guess, to drive action and movement forward. It almost becomes too still or too smooth, right? It maybe the body and the mind is trained to have it be even harder. So you have to create that hard for yourself.
Yeah, I do think our nervous systems and our bodies do get acclimatized to what we experience. So it's partly psychological, but it's partly physiological too. But I do believe we can learn to change it. I don't believe we can't change it. We can't change other people. We can't know situations that are not under our control, but we can change ourselves. That part we really can change. And we can start to shift our expectations and our understanding. And we can start to look at stress differently. And then I think we get a lot more functional in those situations. Because when we're creating our own stress by how we're approaching a task, it's not very helpful really to our performance. It can feel like it is. I need that stress to get me energized. But actually, you don't. And you can start to learn that, that you can have a different kind of life. I think it's a hard adjustment, but I think it can be done.
Yeah. And then I believe there's the other side of it is the, personality type that only can manage very, very little stress. And so what happens when something comes up and it feels, there's the individual that wants to create more stress because they're used to being in that environment. And then there's the other individual that really can manage very low levels of stress that might be in a fast, paced, high performing company, highly competitive company. And so what happens, for those individuals that really can, their threshold is much, much smaller for stress.
Right. I think that, I think that can shift too, but I think that it's a growth process that we shouldn't expect it to be different overnight, like throw ourselves into the most stressful thing and then just wing it. Again, preparation and those small challenges, increasing our tolerance for it helps. And again, doing it with preparation. So, when I first started public speaking, it was having an outline and knowing, being sure I felt very fluent in my subject. I didn't like talking about things that I didn't know much about because that, then when you see people struggling to answer the questions in their from their presentation, that's a problem. You don't want to be that person who doesn't, who can only read from a paper and then, after that I can't talk about it. See, so you can prepare. So I think if you find yourself in that situation and you've been a person who hasn't tolerated much stress and has tried to keep their life stress-free, again, stresses are going to come up anyways, right? And now you find yourself in a more high-paced, stressful situation than what you pictured. Everything you can do to prepare and make it easier for yourself, go ahead and do. That's what's going to help you get a handle on it. And again, control the things you can and let go of trying to control the things you can't. That idea that, knowing the difference between the things we can have an effect on and the things we can't. To say, oh, it shouldn't be this way. Work shouldn't be this stressful. That doesn't help. It shouldn't be that way. Well, it doesn't matter. That's, you that might not be under your control. Or these people shouldn't act like that. Or people should treat me more respect, whoa, that's not the way real life is, and those are things we can't control. What we can control is our reaction. And we can set appropriate limits, but when we start not tolerating anything, then we're not going to be very useful in those kind of settings, but we can grow our ability to handle stress, but we need to do it in a kind way toward ourselves. So, developing a lot of self-compassion and understanding why that's hard for us, but then really, taking the steps, getting prepared, doing the part we can do, taking that extra time to make sure everything's working and we're really prepared and we know what we're going to be talking about. We still could get curveballs, and that can happen because we can't control other people or events. I mean, we live in a time where things are very unpredictable and a ways that affect people's work a lot, whether it's because of tariffs or new regulations or lack of regulations or whatever it might be. I see people trying to adapt, but when it's not the same day to day, that's really tough, right? But still, you can try to prepare as much as you can, and you can grow your tolerance. And you can change your mindset about stress. So it's not, oh, this is going to kill me because it's so stressful. It's like, oh, how could I challenge myself and grow in ways that are going to benefit me in all areas of my life, not just in this job, whether it works out or not. But if I have a little more distress tolerance, I'm going to do better at dealing with interpersonal relationships because you know what? It's hardly any good, even really good relationships have some stressful times. The other person has everything that's going on for them. It might be different than what's going on for you. So it may happen at a time that's really inconvenient for you. But guess what? That can happen. Something can hit your business that you weren't expecting, and you have to make a shift. So you do better in life all the way around if you're more adaptable and realize that you have to be flexible. If you're very rigid about what you'll allow and what you can tolerate, then you really box your life in. And to me, that's very self-limiting, you know, because I think that we all do feel good when we do challenge our boundaries, whatever they are, and what our limits are. And that might be taking more of a chance in a relationship or in a job or doing something that feels a bit challenging. Again, I don't think we want to do something that feels overwhelmingly terrifying, you know, but, you know, it's okay to do those things that are going to stretch our boundaries a bit and try new things. And then we're going to try more things, you know. It's like if you're learning how to swim as an adult, you know, it doesn't mean you should jump in the deep end, or I don't think that's a great way to teach kids to swim either. But, you know, you slowly master new skills and then you get more comfortable. And then pretty soon you can do more than you thought you could. The advantage of that is that you find out there's all kinds of things you like to do that you never thought you would enjoy. And that happened for me with hiking and done some wild trips, but I never thought that that was something I'd want to do. And, you know, but slowly I, you know, some things appeal to me and adventures, and I'm not very good at saying no to adventures. But that's, you know, but I see that as a good thing because then I end up challenging myself to do something that could even feel really hard, but could be really rewarding. If you live your life in a little box of this is all I can do and this is all I can tolerate, you're going to have a very narrow life. And that's, you know, that's pretty sad, you know? So I was talking to somebody the other day who his philosophy is he couldn't handle any stress in a relationship, so you don't get in any. And then he complains about being lonely. And you're like, okay, but, you know, yes, if you get involved, something could be stressful in that relationship. But, and if you want to live alone in your, you know, isolated life, that's fine. But, you know, if you want more love in your life and more companionship, then you got to take some risks. And you probably could stand it. You are an adult. You know, the belief that you can't stand a lot of things, I think it's in the way of stopping people from taking chances where they actually might. And not only might they stand it, they might actually find something they love and enjoy, and that's way more fulfilling than they thought they could ever have if they take those chances. So I think that's part of seeing stress in a positive light. Like, you know, these challenges can push you to find out new things about yourself. And isn't that kind of exciting, you know? And isn't it kind of boring if you just do the same thing every, you know, day, and it's very structured and very safe, but it's not very adventuresome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I really appreciate this idea of when you're thinking about going into like a pending stressful situation when you can anticipate it coming. It's about controlling what's in your control and preparing appropriately and really setting yourself up for success in regards to just giving yourself a bit of room around the edges when facing the stress. And then this idea that, you know, really the taller the threshold for stress is really small, and it's about building your tolerance. And I'm hearing like if being, you know, on a hike is really stressful or really long, you start with a long walk, like, or don't even start with what's the most stressful to you. Like, start implementing new challenges outside of that stressor and start building your tolerance. And I imagine as your tolerance builds, you can become more flexible and resilient to stress along the way. And I think, you know, having a level of resiliency with stress and being able to digest it and find the ways to leverage and see it as a positive, or providing some space or grace within that stressful moment, I think can only positively impact you as things come your way. You know, I think about perhaps the resilience and tolerance, you know, first responders have, you know, and that indeed comes with so much preparation and training and, you know, knowing the teammates they have around them. But I'm sure that there is a high tolerance of every situation is going to be different. You know, nothing is the same in a role like that. And I would imagine the tolerance and resilience to stress is pretty high. And then, what is the opposite of like, how do you downshift from stress as well?
Right, and find fulfillment and in more calm too. So you want to be, that's where you want to be adaptive. You don't want to be in a fixed mindset, like everything has to be that exciting to be feel alive. Because you don't want to put yourself in unnecessary risk. Like if you're a first responder, yes, you have to go into riskful, you have to be willing to go into very risky situations. And you have to, again, hopefully very prepared and knowing what you're doing with a team behind you. But you don't want to have to do everything in your life that way for it to be enjoyable. That doesn't mean you want your relationships to be, that on the brink all the time, or your relationships with your children, or they're not interesting. That's not good. So when you get addicted to that adrenaline and that physiological reaction, that's not healthy or adaptive either. It's having flexibility. So it's having a flexible, adaptive mindset, and an open mindset. So when our mindset is fixed, this is what I can do. So it's, like you said, it might start off with, longer walks or whatever, but, sometimes it turns out that something you thought you couldn't do at all, you actually really can. And so it's okay to challenge yourself to even take a leap and just find out, but again, with a friendly attitude toward yourself, like this might work or it might not work. Let me give this a try and see what I feel about it. It doesn't mean you should do something that's super dangerous like that, but, take a chance on something. That's the only way you find out what really lights you up. Because it's not like anybody hands you a list when you're born. And it's not like your life experiences necessarily brought you to all the things that might be enjoyable to you. Or you're in a different phase of life and you've got more time and freedom. And so you try some different things. But, it's that flexible and adaptive. So it's not like it has to be high intensity all the time. I don't think that's healthy. And I think it makes you create, maybe in your work life, that's adaptive if you're a first responder. But when you go home, do you really want your relationships and, with your family to be always on the brink and always needing, or they're just boring? No, that's, you want some peace too. And you want to be able to adapt to that, so that's where flexibility is important. And so exercising your ability to adapt to what the situation really is and perceive it the way it really is, instead of having to escalate it to something where you need that in order to feel excited. I think that's problematic because then it's very hard to have a relaxed life of any sort in any area of your life. What you want to do is be able to adapt to, oh, high intensity sometimes. Most jobs, they're even in a very fast-paced, intensive company. It's not like it's like that all the time. There's periods of time where we got to put in the extra effort and it's really, going to be intense. There's other times where there's more downtime. And you want to be able to adapt to both and not just, be totally de and not having no energy toward it when it's not that intense, or create it falsely, in a way, by setting ourselves up to be stressed. So being adaptive and flexible is really important. And where our nervous system may have adjusted to only being one way, because in our household it was only one way, or whatever it might be, the experiences we have, we do better when we stretch again and try to grow those edges where we adapt. So maybe you don't go straight from your, super stressful job to being, 10 days off the grid and no, in a silent meditation retreat or something. That might be a little bit too drastic, but adapting to those things slowly, and having some downtime and some self-reflective time is also really important. So it's not that everything has to be at one volume,
Yeah. I'm curious of what you might share with an executive leader who feels that they are in a high stress environment at work and it feels like it's almost like a snowball. It just gets, more stressful and more stressful. And, this executive continues to get triggered in the face of stress and it just feels like there's no reprieve or moment to breathe. where would you tell them to start? Because I think about executive leaders. I also think about first-time moms that are just like, it just doesn't. So how would you, in that level of stress where maybe the stakes are high, where, the executive leader's trying to move something forward with a, clear and hard deadline, or the first-time mom is trying to keep this new baby, alive, and it just doesn't, seem to stop, and that there's triggers at every turn, right? Because your threshold for that stress has already been met. Where would an
Right.
individual start to start giving themselves, either starting to shift the mindset, even though you're deep, deep in it, or start giving yourself a little bit of space to come up for a breath out of that space?
Right. It does help if you can rely on others a bit. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people who sort of feel like they got to do everything themselves. And that's some, again, I think stems from our childhood where relying on other people was dangerous. And much better to just take care of ourselves, you know? And when we have that mindset, we feel trapped in having to do it all ourselves. And I think it's important for people to take a breath and take a minute and go, wait a minute, where can I get support? How can I get help with this? And that doesn't mean I turn over my whole job to somebody else, or I, reassign all my tasks to somebody, but it does mean that we do ask for help when we need it. So new time mothers do much better when they have some help around, and get a little bit of, maybe it's catching an extra hour of sleep because, and it's finding those people we trust because you don't want to hand your newborn baby or your some important aspect of your job over to somebody you don't trust. But you want to find, those people that you can trust. And you don't have to trust them to raise your child. You just want an hour's sleep. Can they keep this baby alive for an hour? So those people, and might be an aunt, it might be a grandmother, it might be a friend, it might be a spouse, it might be, whoever, and realize that they might not do it exactly the way you would do it. And this is true at the work thing too, right? Because they wouldn't do it exactly the way I would do it. I would do it better. But if you're doing too much, then you're not doing anything better. Because you're spread too thin. So it's taking a step back and going, okay, so what parts of this can I let go of? And they just have to be good enough. So if this person sits on the couch and holds my baby while I sleep for an hour, that's enough. I don't need them to do much more. Maybe they don't even know how to change diapers, or whatever, but that's good enough. Or maybe they do it a little differently than I would. Yeah, so what? Baby's still alive. I still am going to have the most influence. And that's true for the business leader too. You're still going to have the most influence. You're driving the project, but it's okay to let other people. And I find so many people in the business setting and in the parent setting, they're like, I can't let any of it go. I've got to do it all myself. It all has to be my way because they've learned not to trust that when you lean on others, they're going to be there for you. And, that I have to take care of myself is something we decide by the time we're about one, when our needs have not been met. Because if we feel in touch with our needs and wants for support, we feel like we're just going to feel shame because they don't get met. And, that adaptation can be very effective in certain ways, but it doesn't leave you very close to anybody because you're always doing it all yourself. And you don't learn to work as a team with others. And the most we know a lot in terms of research, in terms of effectiveness in business or in sports settings and all kinds of settings that we work better as a team. Even those people behind the scenes who aren't in the pool or on the court or whatever, but help prepare us are important. And if we don't lean on them at all, we're not going to do as well. And it's true in a high stressful job that if we can't build a team, first of all, teams have better ideas. More input is better, even if you think you're the only one who's right. It's probably not true, even if you're more perfectionistic than others. So, the way you would do it is this. But if you have a little more flexibility about, okay, that's a little different, but it's probably still going to work. Yes, my partner takes care of the baby a little differently than I do, but I need that partner helping me out, or I need that grandmother or whatever it is, you do better when you bring more people in. And that pooling of ideas or having a team is much more effective. But, if you're doing a team sport and it's all about you, then your team starts to not like you. First of all, they're not going to support you in the same way, and it's not going to go well.
I think this is just so wonderful to hear in regards to where does an executive leader start when they feel that they're kind of, buried underwater with stress, and where do you start? And I think if we even start with your share in the beginning of our conversation is start with what is within your control, then move to prepare yourself around that is in your control, and then reach out for support. Can someone do something at 80% or better? Can we delegate? Can we pause and take a moment to coach, train, and mentor to strengthen the people who are underneath us rather than holding tightly under the pressure or the stress? And so, the mental shift could be the excitement around providing someone else with an opportunity to provide a growth opportunity, to provide a moment of strengthening the foundation below to create a more kind of a stronger team in the long run. And this idea that, okay, it may take longer to coach, train, or mentor someone, but the small time that you put in is going to give you a lot more time in the future once you can truly trust and hand over and delegate that task to someone else. And where does that allow you to now have more room around the edges and a little bit more breathing room? And the stress is when there that balance and that foundational strength and trust exist within a team. And so I just think I think it's just a great reminder and a beat and a pause for executive leaders and anyone that feels that they're, drinking from the fire hose of stress is, taking that beat, taking that pause. And then those are all great skills and tools, but then that discipline to start kind of rewiring your mindset to find the excitement of, I wonder what today is going to bring. I wonder what challenge we get to solve together today. I am, it didn't get done in time. Okay, so it didn't get done in time. Let's create, let's use this time to be excited about how it can be done tomorrow, and, what are the ways that you can start to digest and synthesize stress in a way that can be generated for good? And allow you to move in a direction of positivity versus, whether it's being paralyzed or driving even harder as a response to stress. And allowing your body to actually be able to maintain a level of homeostasis and or positive response versus that unhealthy stress in which I was talking about and having that negative impact.
I think it's scary to start to rely on other people and take those risks, but it's really rewarding. And I think it's the way we're really built. We're social creatures. And some of us are more extroverted than us, some of us are more introverted, but that doesn't mean that we aren't social creatures and that we don't generally feel better when we're doing something as a team. And it's hard when we have learned the lesson that you can't rely on other people. You're going to feel afraid. And that's where you're stretching your edge. It's not that you can't do perform, 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 but can you share? And can you take the chance of relying on others in small amounts to start with or whatever? But that is going to really pay off. And as a mother of a new child, that's really important because you have to start doing it with a child, where you have to start letting them do some things on their own, like get dressed by themselves, even though it takes three times as long and is sometimes way more frustrating. It's still, if you don't do that ever, guess what? Your kid never learns to dress themselves, and then you got a problem at some point. But you have to kind of, or to clean up after themselves or whatever it might be. If you want to have a functional team or a functional family, you've got to let people, as their abilities grow, do more. Otherwise, you stymie the whole thing and you get a pretty dysfunctional situation at some point, right? So it's not throwing people in the deep end, but it's letting them do the things that they can do. And like you said, mentoring can be very, very rewarding. You're not maybe the top star all the time, but if you have to be the top star all the time, that's worth challenging too. or you have to, everything has to be to your level of perfection, then you just drive everybody else out of it, and you don't get the best performance in the long run, which is a more flexible, adaptive team is when everybody's contributing. And again, to the best of their ability. So you find what that person's really good at. You don't put somebody doing, a lot of times people like that, in a way, set themselves up for failure. So they might give a task that requires a lot of organization to somebody who doesn't have that skill set. And then guess what? They're going to be let down and they're going to say, see, I knew I couldn't do that. And that's a setup. You want to find the person who has developed their skills to the point where they are going to be able to do that little piece you're going to give them well. And then, you take a chance on letting them. And it may not be exactly the way you did it, but you don't want to hand it to the person who has none of those skills. That's not smart. And that's setting yourself up for problems too. And I do like that whole thing of realizing that you can't, there's the things you can control and the things you can't. And to get a certain amount of workload done, you have to let go of control. And I don't mean like throw it out the window and forget about it altogether, because you want to prepare and you want to do what you can do. But you also have to know there's not, you can't control everything. And nor are you capable of doing everything at that same stress level all the time and having a life. And having a life worth living is important outside of work too, not just in work. Maybe some part of your career might take a singular focus and a relationship would actually be a distraction or hard to manage because you need 98% of your energy over here. But at some point, you want to start letting go of some of that and have a bigger, amount of space where you can operate. And, but you have to shift your value of yourself, not to just about what you're doing, but that you have value inherently as a person. And that may not be a lesson you learned as a child. I mean, some very lucky kids learn that as kids, that it's okay to just be them, even, but most people, it's they want to read off their latest accomplishments, and that's what makes them valuable. But, it's as you age, and especially as people are getting older, you can't do all the things you used to be able to do. And you do have to rely on others. And that's really tough. I mean, it's one thing when you're a kid and you start off having to rely on others and then get more capable. It's really hard going in the other direction. But if you don't do that, then you don't get the help you need, So if you're getting unsteady on your feet and you don't ask for help, you're not going to be able to do very many things. But if you're willing to ask for help, you're still going to be able to do a lot of things, and that's more adaptive. You're going to have a more fulfilling life. And, ultimately, I think that's what people are trying to create, whether it's, in their personal lives, in their business, whatever, you want more fulfillment. And the reality is, we tend to have more fulfillment as a team. We ha tend to have more fulfillment when we do rely on others, even though it's hard.
Yeah. What role do you think humor can play in managing stress?
I think humor is hugely important to being more flexible and adaptive and having a sense of humor about yourself. There's people who just have humor at other people's expense. That's not that helpful, right? Making fun of your colleagues, not that helpful. But pushing yourself and being willing to have a sense of humor about yourself. And that's part of that not being perfect, right? If you're perfect, then what are they going to joke about, But it's ha being willing to also be willing to embrace some of your eccentricities and your flaws and your whatever, and have some humor about them, I think humor really helps with everything. As certainly as a new parent, having some humor about the fact that some days are going to be a disaster, and aren't going to go the way you planned at all. Because you know what, you can't control when a baby is gonna feel well or not, or let you sleep or not. There's some things you just can't control. But what can you do? And can you be have some sense of humor about it? And I think all of life goes much more easily with a little humor. And again, self-depreciating humor goes over much better with your colleagues than just humor at their expense. And that's true in your relationships too.
Absolutely. What would be if we could leave our listeners just with one simple place to start when managing stress? What is maybe, I mean, we've got some really great ones in regards to control what's within your control and let go what is outside of your control. Prepare, connect with others, implementing humor, and having some grace with yourself. But maybe what would be one way to acknowledge that stress is here and how you might shift your mindset? Like, what would be a good tool to help you do that shift?
I think, you know, think just even replacing the word stress with challenge. Seeing things as a challenge, and a challenge that you can choose to try to overcome, you know, or take on, or a challenge that you decide you don't want to take. You know, it's a challenge and it's a choice. And I think it's really important to remind ourselves that we are adults, we do have choice, but also to see things that we could see as stressful as more as challenges. So when we just make that simple reframe of, oh, this is a challenge that I'm facing right now, and it's a challenge I want to take on either because it's the job or because I think it's exciting or I think it's interesting or it lights me up to take on this challenge. And yes, I'll do everything to prepare for it. I'll put myself in the best place to succeed, but it's a challenge. It's not, you know, something that's being done to me. So I think changing our locus of control makes us more flexible and adaptive, that I have power, not over everything, but over lots of things. And I certainly have power over taking on the challenges I want to take on, and not necessarily taking on ones that I don't want to take on or are too much. But also realizing I can grow, you know, that I'm not in a fixed box. I can push at those edges, you know, and start to try some other things. And that's how I learn about myself, and that's how I develop, you know? So I think that's helpful. I think, you know, having a sense that that there are things you're good at, you know, they're not good at everything. Very few people are good at everything. But, you know, really recognizing that it's fun to do the things you're good at, where you get some reinforcement. So if you're at a job that just keeps giving you criticism, you know what? You're not going to be very invested. If you want to motivate people, that's not a good way to motivate them. There's this theory called self-determination theory, and the idea is that, you know, we like things that are challenging, but that we do with other people. We like things where we get some reinforcement that we're doing a good job, and where we feel like it's our choice. So if you start to pay kids to play a game they're already playing, they lose interest. Because then it's external motivation instead of internal. You know, they were playing that game for fun before. Now they're playing it to get money. It's not the same thing. You know, so, you know, it's important for people to feel like they have some choice. Now, that doesn't mean you can say to everybody in your company, only do the things you want to do, right? Because you need to do some stuff that's not so fun to get work done. But, you know, for people to feel like they have some choice, and it might not be, you know, complete free choice, but you know, which part of the project do you think you're good at? And getting, you know, the part where you're going to get reinforced and reinforcing people, a praise goes a lot farther than criticism and getting people to change. So, you know, even if you get an approximation of the behavior you want from somebody and you praise that, you're going to get a lot more out of them. And, you know, finding those things that where we do get some reward. Where we do feel like we have a choice and feeling like it is a challenge there, and the locus of control is I can make a difference by challenging myself. It's not like I have to do this for somebody else, you know, and that part is really important. And as adults, you know, we do have personal power and we feel like we don't in situations, but it's our past that's informing that. Because, you know, when you're a helpless infant, you don't have a lot of choices. I have a friend who's got a newborn, and you know, you can't even make your arms go where you want to as a newborn. You can't do anything to take care of yourself. And none of us want to go there again, right? But when we sometimes feel like that's where we are, even when we're not, because we once were pretty helpless, but we're not anymore. And you don't have to stay in bad relationships. You don't have to stay in bad jobs. And you can probably make a big difference by changing the way you act in the situation. That will usually shift other people. And if it doesn't, then okay, maybe it's time to go. Because you can't really change other people. But you can get a different reaction, like from your partner, by treating them differently.
Yeah, what a wonderful note to close on. I think this last piece of changing the word stress to challenge and recognizing that it's not something that's being done to you. It's not, it's not happening to you. You actually have the choice and the challenge to proceed in the challenge or to step away from the challenge and how you want to approach it in general. I think that this again is going to resonate so much with our listeners. It is such a relevant topic. I think all of us experience stress on some level, whether it's an over extend and need to have stress in our life or a smaller threshold for stress. So both perspectives are incredibly helpful, and just the understanding that our mindset and how we are choosing to view stress can make a massive difference in our life experience, in our performance, how we show up as individuals in our home lives, in our work lives, in our social lives. And so this to me is gold of knowledge to give to our listeners. So thank you. Thank you for your words today and your insight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Kim. It really has.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please take the opportunity to share with a friend, follow Mindful Warrior Radio, and leave a review. To learn more about Mindful Warrior and Mindful Warrior Radio, please follow us on Instagram at The Real Mindful Warrior and check out our website at www.mindfulwarrior.com. I look forward to our next discussion here on Mindful Warrior Radio.